This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Extra Point with knowledgeable analysts and exclusive special guests. It's your look at the world of sports through the eyes of Place to Be Nation. And now your hosts, Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, George Ribellino.
Place to Be Nation. We are about to embark on probably the busiest and maybe most important sports weekend in North America in a very, very long time. Welcome to episode 38 of your home for everything sports, Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo. We have got a big show for you tonight because we got a lot to talk about. Let me bring in my compadre for the evening. Dr. G is on assignment. So he'll be with us on our next, he'll be back for us on our next show. But joining me is my always capable pinch hitter. He is the, I forgot his name. I was going to say Steve Phelps, but I don't think that's an actual guy. I'm trying to think of the guy that the Yankees, traded for Jay Buhner. He'll know. He's our college basketball analyst and, all around good guy. My brother, Chris.
I think that would be Ken Phelps.
Ken Phelps. You are Ken Phelps tonight. Complete with awesome mustache, like Lanny McDonald. No, Big Brother, good to have you with us. Speaking of Lanny McDonald, the Calgary Flames still in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk hockey tonight. You have your dog in the fight this evening at Madison Square Garden. Of course, the big news at the moment. Well, let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk NFL draft. We're going to talk Stanley Cup playoffs. We're going to talk baseball. We're a month into the season. We're going to talk the Kentucky Derby. The Run for the Roses is Saturday, and then of course the coup de grace. And that is, of course, the fight of the century for this century. I guess you could say it's this century's version of Ali Frazier. I wouldn't go that far, but maybe. Of course, Floyd Money Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, which you and I'll be watching together on Saturday night in Las Vegas. Let me ask you this quickly. Let's talk more about the meat and potatoes of the fight later on. Joining us in our next segment, my big brother's Padawan, Andrew Reich, will be joining us, the Boogie of the Bayou. Give us a talk, a little NBA playoffs, as your San Antonio Spurs will be playing, they're playing tonight in Game 6 at the AT&T Center, trying to finish that series off and move on to the Western Conference semifinals. You lead that series 3-2. But let us talk about... Well, first, let me ask you the question I was about to ask you. Now, I wasn't born yet, and you were only, four? But looking back retrospectively, this fight would have to be pretty damn good if it's going to come close to Ali Frazier 1, I would think, right? Which is last century's fight of the century.
I can't imagine that this fight is going to get anywhere near the level. I mean, first of all, if this fight happened 5 years ago when the two of them were at their peaks, then you might have, I also don't like comparing, middleweights to heavyweights.
Well, that's true too.
I would have probably, this fight probably could have been compared to, Hearns Hagler. Or Leonard Hearns.
Or Leonard Duran.
Leonard Hagler. Or Leonard Duran. I mean, that's what this fight can be. You can't compare the smaller weight classes to the heavyweights. There just really is no comparison there.
True.
Because the fight's going to be the same. So I wouldn't even go into it. I just want it to go to be a good fight. If Pacquiao hadn't lost, that fight that he lost a couple of years ago and came in and, with the same type of streak that Mayweather had, then, it probably would have been in good shape. But, I don't expect this fight to be anywhere near what those fights from the 80s were. But I'm just hoping for a good one because boxing's been just so down. There really hasn't been too much to talk about, especially in the U.S.
Well, that's true. I mean, the heavyweight division has not been what it what it was, you know, when we had Iron Mike Tyson. And I'll tell you something, I was a big Tyson junkie in the late 80s. I liked when he knocked out that stiff Trevor Burbick in his big goofy socks. And Pinklin Thomas. Remember Pinklin Thomas? Nobody remembers Pinklin Thomas, but he knocked him out.
Yeah.
I have a great story, and I don't know if my brother knows this. I think I might have said it to the doctor in a previous show when we talked boxing. When I was, I guess, probably it was 1985, so I guess I was 12, our parents and I, you weren't there, went to Sturbridge, Mass. For a weekend vacation, just the three of us. And our mother was sitting in the car. We were about to go. Do you remember Rahm's? Awesome Rahm's. Great food. For those that grew up in New England, everybody knows Rahm's. Fantastic restaurant in the Sturbridge area, which has since closed, which is kind of sad. Good fried clams. And anyway, so our mother was waiting in the car, and I was telling our father that, you know, can you wait a minute, because on ABC Wide World of Sports, Mike Tyson was about to fight Marvis Frazier, who was Joe's kid. I said, Dad, just tell Mom that we'll be done in a minute. And she's like, it's a fight. We're going to be here like an hour. I'm like, no, Dad, we're not going to be here an hour. And literally, I said, Dad, go to the car, and I'll be there in a minute. And literally, 4 minutes later, I walked in the car. I said, all right, we can go eat. Because in the span of about 37 seconds, he turned Marvis Frazier like the Road Warriors did to stiffs in Georgia Championship Wrestling. And he pretty much pounded him in a hamburger. So that was pretty awesome. One of my favorite Mike Tyson stories of all time. And of course, you know, in the 90s, you had, Evander Holyfield and Riddick Bowe fought their trilogy in the early 90s. And I remember being at a bar here in Connecticut watching one of the fights, and I was the only one in the whole place that wanted Riddick Bowe to win. And I ended up getting chicken bones thrown at me. I can generate some pretty good sports heel heat when I really need it. Incidentally, Chris, it was Bobby V's, just to let you know. So you know what I'm talking about. But since like the late 90s, after like Lennox Lewis kind of faded from the scene and everything, and the Kirilenko, was that Kirilenko? Is that his name? No, Kirilenko played for the Utah Jazz. The Russian fighters that always low blow you. It's like those guys. Ever since they started becoming, the heavyweight division became kind of a joke. And it was all about guys like Pacquiao and Cotto and...
Well, don't forget about Roy Jones Jr.
And Roy Jones Jr. and Sugar Shane Mosley. And guys like that. It became more about the middleweights and the bantamweights and the featherweights, the little smaller
even
guys.
In that case, I mean, the U.S. box climate was, you know, was never anywhere near as good as it was in the 80s.
No.
The 80s was, in my eyes, the best decade for boxing in the U.S.
Yep. And I think the same can be said almost for tennis. I think tennis, 80s into the late 90s, was a good stretch. I think once... Sampras and Andre kind of retired and faded. I think the same thing happened with, I think Andy Roddick ended up being a dud. You know, also I thought was kind of a dud, and, you know, we'll get into the NFL draft in a minute, but I always thought that Jim Courier could have had a much better tennis career, and he
won a couple of Grand Slams.
Yeah, but he was good from like 90 to like 93. That was pretty much it. He could have been a lot better. Anyway, let's talk about the draft. The 2015 NFL. Anyway, we'll talk more about Mayweather Pacquiao later on in the segment. Anyway, in Chicago, going on at the moment is the 2015 NFL Draft. When was the last time I was in Chicago? 10 years ago?
Never.
Really? Never?
No. It's always been in New York.
Wow. Weird. It is in Chicago, and we're going to give you. I mean, by the time you hear our show, the draft, the first round will be over. But kind of neat to kind of monitor it as it happens. As we're speaking. As we're on at the moment, the 13th pick is waiting. That is the New Orleans Saints. So they are on the clock right now. But let's talk about the first 12 picks, Chris. As expected, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the number one pick did indeed take Jameis Winston of Florida State. And in kind of a shock, Tennessee decided, to hell with all you teams and trying to fleece us for this pick, we're just going to take them ourselves. So with the second pick, the Tennessee Titans did take Marcus Mariota from Oregon.
Well, I mean... Basically, any team that was going to make a trade, the Titans were going to have to get, you know, at least two first-round picks and a quarterback out of it. I think they probably were going to, you know, they were probably going to want. And there's one team in the draft, I believe, that's got two first-round picks this year. I can't think of who they are.
I think it's Cleveland.
I think it is Cleveland.
Yes, they have the 12th pick,
and the 19th, I think.
Yes, and they got the 19th from Buffalo.
Right.
So
I think
Saints have two first round picks too.
Actually, who?
The Saints. They have this pick now, and the 31st pick they got from the Seahawks. So they have two picks this round too.
Yeah, I don't think they would have done anything more than taking a two ones, probably a one this year and a one next year. It would have been required, and that's a pretty steep price to pay for a quarterback who's basically unproven in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, he's got size, and you know, he's relatively intelligent, but there's worry about his arm strength. You know, can he make the NFL throws? You know, but I mean, I think he'll be a decent quarterback. I don't think there's any studs, and I don't think Jameis Winston's a stud either. I don't think there's a Ben Roethlisberger or an Eli Manning or a Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck in any of these drafts. I don't think any you're going to see these guys, you know, winning Super Bowls.
Right.
I just don't. And that's, you know, my opinion.
Right.
But no, I mean, the Titans need a quarterback. I mean, Locker's gone, and I don't think they think Mettenberger is the future. So, you know, you take a shot on the quarterback. This is the draft to get one because you don't see two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks in the draft. So they did what they had to do.
So they're both the same height. They're both 6'4". Winston's 9 pounds heavier. He's 231. Mariota's 222. And guess who plays in week one? And we'll also in this today talk about the NFL schedule, which came out last week. So you and I, Chris, can banter around some games. Week one on the schedule, Tampa Bay at Tennessee. So for the first time, if this holds true and there's no trades, for the first time in NFL history, the first two picks of a draft as quarterbacks will open their careers against each other.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened before.
Because, I mean, you can almost guarantee both the – unless one of them gets hurt, both these guys are going to start week one. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You said this exact same thing to me eons ago. You don't draft anybody first and not start them. That's not the way it works. Because first-round picks, number one overall picks, are franchise changers, not guys you're going to sit holding a clipboard.
Yeah, well
– they're drafting a guy number one, he's your starter next year.
Eli was the number one pick in the draft, and he didn't play for a year. I think for the most part that's probably the case. Especially in Tampa.
Would you start Kent Graham?
I mean, they've got nobody.
Would you start Kent Graham? Dave Brown?
Kurt Warner was the quarterback.
Oh, good grief. Really? Wow. I forgot Kurt Graham. I forgot Kurt Warner was on the Giants. Totally forgot he had that little pit stop there. So there you go. So the quarterbacks went 1-2, and I don't think they're going anywhere. Jacksonville with the third pick took Dante Fowler Jr., outside linebacker from Florida. They need serious defensive help, obviously. The Raiders seem to have a lot of faith in Derek Carr because is it Derek? I always get this confused. It is Derek Carr.
No,
it's not Derek Carr.
The
quarterback.
Quarterback?
Yeah, is it Derek? Yeah. Or was Derek Carr the brother?
Yeah, it's Derek Carr.
It's Derek Carr. So the Raiders with their fourth pick took Amari Cooper from Alabama, the big wide receiver, big target. So clearly they like Carr, and he's their guy. So with the fifth pick, the Redskins took Brandon Scherff, the first offensive lineman, the guard from Iowa, who won the Outland Award. That's a good pick for them because they're going to have to protect whoever the hell the quarterback is, probably Colt McCoy. With the sixth pick, now the Jets, I like this pick a lot because Jets already have a good defense. They got a defensive-minded coach. So they end up taking Leonard Williams, the defensive end from USC. That's a great pick. I think the Jets' D-line is going to be pretty nasty. They're going to be very, very good, which means
he's pro-ready. He's ready to contribute immediately.
Yes, so that's a good pick for the Jets. With the seventh pick, the Bears took Kevin White, wide receiver from West Virginia. Somebody for Kurt Warner to throw – Kurt Warner. Jay Cutler to throw to if he's the quarterback. I guess he is at this point, really. There's nobody else. With the eighth pick, the Falcons took Vic Beasley, the outside linebacker from Clemson. Another team whose defense needs to be upgraded immensely. Here you go. And I said this, the doctor and I said this throughout the offseason, that this was what the Giants were going to do with their first round pick. So with the ninth pick, even though they do need some defensive help, they took 6'6", 329-pound guard Ereck Flowers from Miami. You like this pick?
Yeah, no, he's not a guard. He's actually a tackle. He plays right tackle for the
okay.
For
they had him
Miami.
As a, they, NFL.com had him as a guard. So
yeah, no, he's a tackle. He could play guard, but they're gonna plug him right in at right tackle. And depending on one of the things that he's got to work on is his technique, his quick, you know, his getting off the ball. And as a left tackle, you've got to be able to protect the blind side. So you've got to be able to get back on your feet, and that's something he'll have to work on. But they could plug him right in, and you know the Giant offense is going to be prolific this year, and they're going to need to be able to protect Manning, and if they can do that, and Flowers will help, it'll help the Giant offense. I like the pick a lot. I knew they were going to pick an offensive lineman here.
Yeah.
Now they have to focus on the secondary. They lost a ton of safeties. In fact, Stevie Brown just signed with I'm not sure who exactly, but I know that they lost him. They cut Antrell Roll, so they've lost a lot of depth on the back line. So they're going to have to draft safety and probably another, maybe two safeties or safety and a cornerback at least.
Right.
Now that they've got an offensive tackle, they could focus on the defense the rest of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, they probably could definitely work maybe at getting a linebacker. In fact, I think a lot of teams are going to need secondary help. A lot of teams are going to need secondary help in this draft. So, though we have not seen one. Well, the first one was drafted a couple picks from now. We'll let you know in a minute. With the 10th pick, and we were wondering where this guy was going to go. He's probably one of the two best running backs in the draft. The Rams took Todd Gurley from Georgia. By the way, listen to this, Big Brother. First time a running back has been selected in the first round since 2012.
Yeah, and the guy blew his ACL out. So, that's automatically a red flag. I would never draft a running back that's had ACL surgery before he's even played a down in the NFL.
I'm surprised they didn't take Gordon from Wisconsin. Melvin Gordon? He had like 2,700 yards this year or something.
Yeah, so I'm not really big on that. I mean, I know people come back from ACLs like they're you know sprained ankles, but that would bother me that maybe he's not durable. And in the NFL, as a running back, you better be able to carry the ball, you know.
Right.
300 times, 250 times.
Yeah, you have to. Well, look at what I mean. It's pretty much what DeMarco Murray did for the Cowboys this year. With the 11th pick, the Vikings took Trey Waynes. So there's a corner from Michigan State. So the first secondary guy in the draft went there. With the 12th pick, Cleveland took Danny Shelton, nose tackle from Washington. They need some help on the defensive side as well. And the pick just happened a moment ago. The New Orleans Saints took Andres Pete, a tackle from Stanford. So, Chris, we got 1, 2, 3 offensive linemen in the first 13 picks. So, two quarterbacks.
Offensive line in a passing league, the offensive line has to be strong.
Yes. So right now the Miami Dolphins are on the clock, followed by San Francisco, and then Houston. Cowboys pick 27th. The Browns have another pick coming. You and I just mentioned a moment ago they pick 19th. They got that pick from Buffalo, and another team that has two picks, the Saints. As you mentioned, they just took Andres Pete. They also have the 31st pick that they got from the Seahawks. So, and of course, picking last, the world champion, New England Patriots. So we'll keep tabs on that. But also coming out last week, and it's the first time we've had to talk about it here on the show, and that is the 2015 NFL schedule comes out. It's kind of funny, Chris, how suddenly the NFL schedule, oh my God, the schedule's out, and everybody like flips out. And
ESPN had a show on TV about it.
Yeah, they have shows now. They do shows now about the – it's like, oh, my God, the schedule's out. Like, anyone ever used to give a shit about the schedule? And now all of a sudden, oh, my God, it's a schedule.
The only thing I really cared about with the Giants schedule is who the AFC
– what division they were playing.
What division they played.
Yes.
Just because those are the games that you don't see a lot of, and you want to see teams that you don't play a lot because you got your two games against Washington and the Eagles – And the Cowboys, and then you're certainly gonna probably play Green Bay and San Francisco because you have kind of rivalries there, and it's just to see who from the other conference you play. That's basically the way I look at it.
Right. So week one, we're not gonna do every game, but just the kind of the highlight games. Obviously, the season begins week one in New England on that Thursday night, September 10th. The Patriots, obviously the tradition, the defending world champions, get the first game of the year, and they'll host Pittsburgh on that Thursday night in Foxborough.
I think the Steelers could struggle this year.
Steelers are not going to be very good. Their secondary got decimated.
They really didn't have a good defense last year. I mean, their offense is very good. I mean, Bell's a good running back. They've got good receivers. But their defense, which has been, you know, probably one of the best in the last 50 years as far as regularly being good, they lost Dick LeBeau, who's the architect of that defense, and a number of probably Hall of Fame players. I mean, Harrison's probably a borderline Hall of Famer, and Polamalu's a first ballot.
Right.
So.
And they lost Taylor.
And Ike Taylor's probably might be even be considered that. So
he will. So the Steelers pick 22nd in this round. So we'll see if they grab a defensive lineman. Dolphins are still on the clock, by the way. Giants play. Actually, we play each other. We open the season against each other on NBC. Then, of course, could this be the worst doubleheader on a Monday night that they've ever had to start the season? Obviously, the tradition is ESPN has, you know, ESPN does Monday nights anyway, but they do a doubleheader in week one. Philadelphia at Atlanta, followed by Minnesota at San Francisco. Those are hideous.
Those games aren't great. I don't think people expected San Francisco to you know, be as down as they're going to be.
Yeah.
And Atlanta just has no – I mean, their defense is atrocious.
So the highlight game – by the way, 13 times this year, I believe, or 13 of the 17 weeks, there will be – and I'm not going to – I'll try and pick through them if I can remember them. There will be – and obviously this is the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 50 will be in January out at Levi Stadium. So 13 of the 17 weeks of this season, there are Super Bowl rematches at some point, you know, over the first 49. Let me look at week one. Miami plays Washington, so there's an example. I'll try and pick them out if I can. But as I mentioned, 425 on CBS in week one, Tennessee at Tampa Bay. So right out of the gate, we could have Marcus Mariota versus Jameis Winston in week one.
Oh, by the way, nobody cares.
No, they're still both going to be terrible. But I wouldn't say nobody cares.
Well,
I think nobody
cares, meaning the game isn't going to be very good.
No, the game's not going to be any good, but people are going to watch to see them.
I'll be watching Baltimore-Denver. That's the game of the week.
Yeah, that is a very good game. Week two, the Thursday night game is Denver at Kansas City. Not bad. The Sunday night game, Seattle at Green Bay. And the Monday night game, Jets at Indianapolis. The Giants host Atlanta. Cowboys at Philadelphia.
It's a tough 1-2 punch for the Cowboys right off the bat. Two division games.
Yep, I agree. Week three, the Thursday night game, Giants host Washington. You mollywomped them last year on Thursday night. I remember Eli threw 5 touchdown passes. The Cowboys play Atlanta. The Sunday night game, Denver at Detroit. Ooh, a unique matchup. And then Monday night, Kansas. Oh, there you go. Super Bowl I. Kansas City at Green Bay.
I think they are very close to being a very, very good team.
I think it's the coaching. Be honest with you. They need a real coach. They need a Super Bowl kind of coach. They're kind of, I mean, what is it, Schwartz? Jim Schwartz? I mean, he's okay. But he kind of.
Wayne Fonts is not walking through that door.
No, Wayne Fonts. No, he's not Wayne. Wayne Fonts. He took them to the playoffs. Then again, I forgot who was the running back. He wore 20.
Where's Dick Night Train Lane?
Dick Night Train, yes. I was going to say, where's Bobby Lane, but he's at the bar. Week four, Thursday night game, Ravens Steelers, usually a nice bar fight right there. The first London game is that week, Jets and Miami. Giants are in Buffalo. There's a Super Bowl rematch. And the Cowboys are at New Orleans on Sunday night, and the Monday night game is Detroit at Seattle.
Let's just say Dallas wants to forget their last trip to
They beat the Saints last year, but that was in Dallas. This is the first time since they had more – the Saints had more first downs.
Didn't they give up, 7,000 yards and 155 first downs?
Yes, they gave up. Saints had more first downs than the Cowboys had yards in that game. Week five, the Thursday night game is Colts Texans. Any sexy games? Cowboys are host New England that week, and the Giants are the Sunday night game. They host the 49ers. The Monday night game is Steelers Chargers.
Dallas New England will be a good game.
Yes, I think the Cowboys will hang. They'll probably lose. But I think they can hang. I think they can hang with the Patriots. Week six, Atlanta, New Orleans, the Thursday night game. The Giants at Philadelphia on Monday night, and the Cowboys have a bye that week. Ooh, week six bye. That's not good. I don't like byes pre week nine. You need to have a double digit bye.
That's really early for a bye.
That is really early. Week seven, the Thursday night game, Seahawks 49ers.
Chargers just traded up to number 15 with San Francisco.
Ah, and the Dolphins have selected Devontae Parker, wide receiver, Louisville. So another skill guy, probably because Mike Wallace left. So the Dolphins will have a skill guy there. So the Chargers now have the 15th pick. Actually, the Chargers and Niners flip-flopped 15 and 17. So the Chargers are on the clock with the 15th pick, followed by Houston and then San Francisco. So with the 14th pick, the Dolphins took Devontae Parker, wide receiver from Louisville. Let's see. Where were we? Okay, so week 7, Giants and Cowboys play the rematch at the Meadowlands. The Sunday night game is Eagles-Panthers. I think Carolina's going to be very good this year. And then the Monday night game is Ravens-Cardinals. That'd be interesting.
Well, that division is really not very good. So.
Yeah, true.
I mean, New Orleans is certainly taking a step back. Tampa stinks. Atlanta stinks. So there you go.
Yeah. Week 8, Thursday night game, Dolphins-Patriots. Let's see. Dallas hosts Seattle. The Giants are in New Orleans. The Sunday night game is Green Bay at Denver, another Super Bowl rematch. And then Monday night is Colts-Panthers. That'll be fun. Let's see, week 9. The Thursday night game is Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cowboys host Philadelphia on Sunday night. Giants are in Tampa. So the Giants will get a look at Jameis Winston. Well, if he's not benched or hurt by week 9, you'll get a close look at Jameis. And the Monday night game is Chicago at San Diego. Let's see, week 10. Thursday night, Buffalo and the Jets, of course. Big Rex, Rex, sexy Rexy, coming back to MetLife. Cowboys are at Tampa Bay, so the Cowboys the following week will get their look at Jameis. Giants, New England. There's the big game. Giants, the Patriots say they should have 6 rings, but they don't.
They could say that all they want. They don't.
the Sports Lounge guys wish that their team had 6 rings, but they don't. The Sunday night game, Arizona at Seattle, and the Monday night game, Houston at Cincinnati. Where's Dan Pastorini? Week 11.
Dan Pastorini versus Ken Anderson.
Versus Ken Anderson, yes. Ken Anderson, underrated quarterback, in my opinion. Is he in the Hall of Fame? I'm sure he is.
I don't think so.
That's crazy. He was one of the most consistently accurate passers of his era.
That's not sexy enough.
Yeah, and he has no rings.
And he lost the one time that he got there. Now, he played well in that game, but...
Yes.
But I don't think he was a Hall of Fame quarterback. Hmm.
Week 11, the Thursday night game is Tennessee at Jacksonville. Jets are in Houston. Dallas is at Miami, another Super Bowl rematch. The Giants are off that week. That's your bye.
That's our bye week.
That's a good bye.
Love that bye week.
That's a good bye week. The Sunday night game is Kansas City, San Diego. The Monday night game, Buffalo at New England. Week 12 is the Thanksgiving week, so our triple header on Turkey Day. Philadelphia at Detroit, Carolina at Dallas. And the primetime game will be Chicago at Green Bay, and that is apparently the night that Brett Favre will have his number 4 retired at Lambeau.
Well, the first two games are actually pretty good.
Yes.
Philadelphia, Detroit, and Carolina, Dallas are decent games. Chicago and Green Bay is an ish.
Yeah. On Sunday, Giants are in Washington. That's a 1 o'clock game. The primetime game on NBC will be Patriots-Broncos, and then on Monday night, Baltimore at Cleveland. So the current Browns versus the former Browns on Monday night. Week 13. Thursday night, Green Bay at Detroit. Jets-Giants that day. Big brother at MetLife. So what is it? Half the building's going to be colored green, half the place going to be colored.
Well, it's a giant home game, so it'll be all blue.
All blue, and you'll make them go out in the weeds and tailgate?
Yes.
Yes.
Beat it.
Let's see. And the primetime game, where are the Cowboys? Oh, Monday night, Cowboys at Washington. And the Sunday night game on NBC is Colts-Steelers. Well, looks like the Chargers needed to replace Ryan Matthews because, of course, Matthews signed with the Eagles. So, with the 15th pick, the Chargers took Melvin Gordon, running back, Wisconsin. I think that's a great pick. I think he'll fit right into that fast Chargers offense. I think that's another.
Yeah, no, Melvin Gordon, I thought he was the best running back in the draft.
I think so too. I think the Rams might have. I think the Rams made a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, not that I'm not big on Gurley, but I mean, anybody who's like blew their knee out before they even played down in the NFL. That's a red flag for me.
Yeah. So the Chargers traded up to 15 so they can take Melvin Gordon, running back from Wisconsin, who had almost like 2,700 yards this year. So the Houston Texans are on the clock at 16. So where were we?
Week
13. Yeah, week 13, the Sunday night game is Colts and Steelers. Week 14, as we head into December, the Thursday night game is Vikings-Cardinals. The Giants are in Miami on Monday night. When was the last time you played at Miami? God, it seems like
I can't even, probably.
You played in London.
We played them in London last time we played Miami, so it's been two cycles of AFC, so probably it's been at least 8 years.
So that's on Monday night, and the Cowboys are in Green Bay in a rematch of the no-catch call. And the Sunday night game on NBC is Seahawks Ravens. That's a fun game, interesting matchup there. Week 15, we start getting into the Saturday primetime games. We do have a Thursday night game. It'll be Tampa Bay St. Louis, so Jameis Winston will have some primetime cachet there. Saturday night, Jets and Dallas. That's on the NFL Network. The Giants are home to Carolina, so they'll have to deal with Cam Newton that week. The NBC game is Bengals-Niners. That's another Super Bowl rematch. And the Monday night game is Detroit at New Orleans. Bobby Hebert and Eric Hipple. Week 16, Thursday night, Christmas Eve. Also, you're going to have a game on in your living room, just to let you know. We'll have it on mute. San Diego at Oakland. Oh, maybe we won't have it on. Ooh, put the Yule log on instead.
or just turn on. You know, you'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah, well, you shoot your eye out for 24 straight hours. There is a Saturday night game the day after Christmas, Eagles-Redskins in Philly. Sunday, the Giants are at Minnesota. The Cowboys are in Buffalo, Super Bowl rematch there. The Sunday night game, Pittsburgh-Baltimore, and the Monday night game is Cincinnati at Denver. And then week 17, final week of the season, all the games are on Sunday. We have no Thursday night game, no Sunday night games, no Monday night games, and, of course, all the matchups in division. And the Giants will be – where are the Giants? Giants hosting Philly, and the Cowboys will be hosting Washington. So there's your NFL schedule with all of your primetime matchups. And, of course, we'll have more NFL fun and games throughout the summertime as we get closer. Houston Texans are still on the clock. For those, in case you, for some reason, bopped in the middle, obviously we're kind of treating this. It's kind of interesting because, you know, this is a podcast, so you'll be able to listen to it whenever you want. But we do kind of get excited here at the Extra Point and my PIC, and I used to do it on the Place Be podcast when we'd have live something going on. The Houston Texans are on the clock in the NFL draft. Of course, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota went 1-2. And they will play each other in week one down at the, almost said at the Sombrero, but that no longer exists. Isn't that sad? All right. So there's your NFL schedule, and we'll talk more about the NFL as we get toward the summertime. Let's talk the frozen pond, Big Brother. We are officially into the conference semifinals, and, in the East, it is indeed the, New York Rangers, the number one overall seed, taking on the Washington Capitals, who ended the legacy of the Islanders, the mausoleum. And
By the way, Mike Emmerich and Eddie Olczyk are not calling this game, and I'm not happy about it.
Is that why you're playing like crap? It is 1-0.
No, the Rangers are actually playing pretty decent.
Mason Holtby, obviously.
Fabulous.
Braden Holtby. I like Mason Holtby better. Sounds like a jobber in NWA. Caps leading 1-0, 8:42 to go, third period. Talk a little bit about the Rangers and their 5-game win over the Penguins in the quarterfinals. Things you liked and things you didn't like in that series for the Rangers.
Well, I mean, their power play needs to be better. I mean, this is a team that, you know, has Stanley Cup aspirations. I mean, they went to the finals last year. They had the best record in the league this year. They have depth on their front line. They've got good defense, and they have, in my eyes, the best goalie in the world. Problem is that their power play has been bad for many years, and with as much talent as they have, it's hard to imagine that. But what they do is they pass the puck too much. They don't shoot enough. They're always looking for the perfect setup. And you know, they're an experienced team, and experienced teams are going to win those 2-1 games. They really need to put the puck in the net more. And I thought they were going to. I figured they'd score at least 3 or 4 goals tonight, and that does not appear to be happening, which is concerning to me. That at home, they're being shut out on their own ice, which is not a good sign.
Right.
One thing to lose a game 4-3 or 3-2, but when you can't score in your own rink in a playoff game, that's not good. Now let's hope, you know, if Holtby plays this, I mean, it's not like Lundqvist is playing poorly. He's given up one goal in 25 shots.
Right.
But like, and you said it, and I agree with you. I said teams to win the cup, you have to face adversity, and this would be there if they can't score, you know. If they don't win this game, then here's your first taste of adversity when you lose your first game at home in a playoff series. Now, you know, now you feel some pressure. I mean, Rangers, you know, when they won the cup, they lost and they trailed in series, and it's something that's, you know, you're going to have to do.
Right. Well, Bruins had it in.
But I'm not concerned if they lose this game. I mean, I'm not ready to.
It's not like the Capitals are an undefeated team at home. I think you can go into the phone and win a game in Washington.
Well, the Rangers had the best road record in the league, so
yeah. So I don't think I wouldn't be concerned with that.
No,
I mean
it makes Saturday's game pretty important because you certainly don't want to go to Washington down 2-0.
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think that would. I don't think that. I can't see that happening.
No, I can't see it either happening. I mean, but you know, and I told you this today when we talked on the phone that the NHL playoffs are by far the best postseason. There is. I mean, you can't watch. There's too many games on during the regular season, but postseason hockey is just, you can't beat it. I mean, I've watched so many games. I've watched the Jets and the Ducks. I watched Chicago and the Wild. I mean, I watched some of the Blues.
You mean Blues game. Wild?
Blues Wild. The Chicago and Nashville I watched because it's just up and down, up and down, up and down, and that's what it's supposed to be.
I'm bummed that the Predators are out. They lost in the quarters to Chicago. I like Nashville.
Well, they're young and inexperienced.
Yeah, they'll
be good for a while.
Yeah. Tonight, tipping off in about game one from the pond, home of a pair of WrestleManias. That still makes me blows my mind. Game one, the Ducks hosting one of my Cinderella teams that I like, the Calgary Flames. And then tomorrow night, game one from the Bell Center, or no, is it the Molson Center? No, it's the Bell Center in Montreal. Game one between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Montreal Canadiens, who, by the way, okay, beat Ottawa in what, six games in the quarterfinals, and they trailed in almost all of them at some point. Meanwhile, Anaheim, you want to talk about a stunner? Chris, Anaheim was trailing after two periods in each of the first three games against Winnipeg and won all three of them. And then they ended up beating them by like three goals in game four and swept them.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive to be, you know.
To come back and win after trailing at the end of two periods in the first three games. Two at home. Crazy. And then tomorrow night, game one from the United Center in Chicago as the Blackhawks will host another Cinderella team. The Minnesota Wild. If you're the Blues, you got to be feeling pretty raunchy if they're getting knocked out first round. I think the second year in a row. So, there's your Stanley Cup playoffs. So, Capitals trailing the Rangers, or Rangers trailing the Capitals, 1-0 third period. And the other three series will be starting. Ducks hosting Calgary, Montreal hosting Tampa tomorrow on Friday, and the Wild take on the Blackhawks in Chicago. Draft update, let's see. The Texans have selected Kevin Johnson, cornerback, Wake Forest.
Kevin Johnson, didn't he play with Phoenix?
Yes, and now he's the mayor of Sacramento. now the Niners are picking 17th. This used to be the Chargers pick, but the two teams flip-flopped, so the Chargers could pick Melvin Gordon, which I think is a fantastic pick. I think that's there's your top two running backs. They're going in the first 16.
Rangers just scored, tie game.
Well, how about that? Live
Kevin
here
Hayes.
On the Extra Point.
Kevin Hayes, the rookie.
Kevin Hayes, the rookie. And so there you go. So Caps and Rangers tied at one with a little over 5 minutes to go.
No, 4:39.
Okay, in regulation. So just under 5 minutes to go in regulation. Let's talk Kentucky Derby. It says Fast scored the goal. That's what ESPN just said.
Well, Kevin, Hayes took the shot, but... Yes, Jesper Fast tipped it in.
Jesper Fast. What happened to on a side
actually,
note,
it went off a capital stick and then fast leg, and then by Holtby.
On a side note, what happened to your man Nils Giffey? Did anybody draft him?
No, he's playing professionally in Germany.
Oh, so he went back home then to make millions of dollars.
Yeah, he wasn't going to play in the NBA.
So do you think people in like Hockenheim are yelling Nils like you guys did in stores?
Of course.
Okay. Nils. I liked Giffey just because he was one of those goofy. He was like the male version of Carla Berube.
But he lit it up.
Yes.
2 years ago, he really lit it up.
The Niners have chosen, that was a quick pick, and San Francisco selected Eric Armstead, defensive tackle, Oregon. So now the Kansas City Chiefs are on the clock.
I wonder if he's related to Jesse Armstead.
Perhaps. Why would he have gone to the U then? Because don't they all go in groups like the Blades brothers and the Blades cousins? They all went to Miami. All right, let's talk the Run for the Roses. The Kentucky Derby is happening this Saturday from Churchill Downs, the first leg of the Triple Crown. Let's take a look at the entries. Take a look at the cool. You and I talked about the entries earlier today. Of course,
Carpe Diem. That's my pick.
Carpe Diem sees the day. Of course, in 2 weeks will be the Preakness Stakes from Pimlico Track in Baltimore, and then usually around my birthday, the third and final leg of the Triple Crown, and that is, of course, the Belmont Stakes in Belmont.
Graveyard of horse racing.
Yes, that's where Triple Crowns go to die.
Except in 1973.
Well, yes, I was 8 days old, and that horse was just, that was one of the few times that Dad said he ever cried watching sports, to see Secretariat do what he did that day. Defies logic, but
and that record, 159. You ran a mile and a half in less than 2 minutes.
Not gonna happen.
Like, I don't think you could do it in a car.
No, no, I don't think you can do it in a car. For some reason, ESPN is having issues with trying to get the entries. So this is annoying. Anyway, the Kentucky Derby is this Sunday, this Saturday at Churchill Downs. All right, let's talk about the main event, if you will. By the way, great podcast here on Place to Be Nation. Of the weekend, and that is, of course, Saturday night, very late, probably 11:30, quarter to 12, in the MGM in Las Vegas.
Well, how many fights are on the card?
I think four. For $100 a pop, there better be. Oh, by the way, speaking of, our good friends at Boneheads, they were telling us, and I've heard from a couple other people, you know how much bars are being charged to carry the fight? $4,500. That's what they have to pay.
Wow.
$4,500 for if your bar wants the Kentucky Derby, if your bar wants the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, that's kind of bonkers, to be honest with you. I've watched plenty of Floyd Mayweather fights because he works with Showtime, and Showtime is owned by CBS. So, from a work perspective, I've seen it. This is how Floyd Mayweather wins his fights. I saw it against Robert Guerrero. I saw it in both my fights against Maidana. I saw it against Canelo. He gets about two or three good shots in the first round, and then spends the next 11 rounds dancing in a circle and hoping you miss a lot. Kind of like Rocky did to Clubber Lang in Rocky III. Just make you punch and miss, punch and miss, punch and miss. But he doesn't really do much the last 11 rounds. He just gets the shots in, and the points carry him through the fight. I don't think that's happening with Manny Pacquiao Saturday night. Manny Pacquiao is no idiot. He wasn't named Fighter of the Decade of the 2000s by accident. I think you are, for the first time in quite a while, maybe since De La Hoya or even Mosley, you're going to see Floyd Mayweather work for his points on Saturday night. That's what I'm.
Yeah, about. I mean, if this fight happened 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I probably would have picked Pacquiao, but I think Mayweather wins the fight, and I think it's going to be a good fight, but I think, and I don't think, I do think one of them is going to get knocked out.
Really?
Yes, I am predicting a knockout. I am predicting a Floyd Mayweather knockout. Technical, not a KO, but a TKO.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Wow. I'm stunned. I think it's going to the distance. And I think Pacquiao wins. I think it'll be a split decision. Let me put it that way. I think it'll be a split decision. I think you'll see a couple of ties. Yeah, it's gonna be a tough one.
No, I've got to root for the American. I think Pacquiao a few years back was a better fighter and probably would have won the fight, but I think Mayweather wins. So you think Pacquiao's going to win? I mean, are you rooting for Pacquiao?
Let's put it this way. I find Floyd Mayweather unbelievably nauseating. He is probably one of the greatest heels in the history of boxing. He'd be managed by J.J. Dillon if he was a – or Teddy Long or something.
I mean, the best heel – Muhammad Ali was the best heel. I mean
– No, Muhammad Ali was like Hogan. Muhammad Ali was like – well, maybe he was a heel in your eyes. He was a heel in your eyes maybe, but no, Muhammad Ali was like Hulk Hogan. And Joe Frazier was like Randy Savage. Easily irritated. But that's what I think. I think Muhammad Ali was like Hulk Hogan, and I think Joe Frazier was like Randy Savage. All right. There are 20 horses in the Derby. I finally found it.
Yeah, there's always a gajillion of them.
There's Ocho, Ocho, Ocho. Carpe Diem, that's your pick. Materiality. Ten Sendur, that's a New York horse. Danzig Moon. Sounds like a band you saw at the New Haven Coliseum. Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. I can't even pronounce this. Mubtahij? M-U-B-T-A-A-H-I-J.
Mubtahij.
It's Irish. Doctor's wife probably could say it. El Kabir, Dortmund, Bolo, Firing Line, Stanford, International Star, It's a Knockout, Keen Ice, Frosted, War Story, Mr. Z, American Pharaoh, Upstart, and, oh, my horse, Far Right. And then there's a couple other eligibles. I am going to take, let's see, Far Right is 30-1. Carpe Diem is 8-1, so there's a puncher's chance. And Velasquez is riding him, so. That's a Todd Pletcher horse, too. So, I don't see any...
Hey, Lucas?
He's got one horse, Mr. Z. Bob Baffert. Baffert's got Dortmund and American Pharaoh. So he's got
Dortmund's
two horses.
The favorite, 3-1.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Far Right at 30-1.
Of course. You and Rush.
Yes, exactly. Rush, yes. Michael Savage. No. So there you go. I like, so that's my pick there. What a weekend. What a weekend.
Yes.
Big brother. We haven't had a fun weekend like this.
No, I mean.
It's like Thursday, Friday of the tournament. Although your day is pulling the shades down and having your fingernails grow out like Howard Hughes is over. But stacked amongst Gabriel's pizza boxes.
This year's tournament I didn't enjoy it very much. Wasn't a lot going on.
No, it was Kentucky's tournament to win, and that might have been one of the greatest. We've talked the tournament already, but I think that Kentucky Wisconsin semifinal might be one of the greatest basketball games ever played. Tournament games ever played. I still think my favorite tournament game was Michigan and Kentucky in the '93 semifinals. What a basketball game that was. I mean, you had the Fab Five against Jamal Mashburn, and I think both of those guys that won the national championship 3 years later, most of them were sophomores, Nazi Muhammad and Delk and those guys. I mean, Patino was jacked on that team.
No, the 96 Kentucky team was, you know, for a team that didn't win, that didn't go undefeated, was probably as good a team, that had ever been put together.
Right.
They were amazing.
Yes.
And the 98 Carolina team was pretty good, too, with Eric Montross and
Derek Phelps.
Derek and Anton Jameson.
No, Jameson was after that.
Was he?
Yeah, Jameson was like 98 with Vince.
That's what I said, 98.
Oh, I thought you said 93. Well, you
oh,
said
my
Montross.
God. The Capitals just scored, but the clock says zero.
Uh-oh. We'll keep tabs on that. Before we go to break, the Chiefs have picked 18th, and they took Marcus Peters, another DB cornerback from Washington. So the Browns, Cleveland is on the clock now with their second pick. Earlier on in the 12th pick, they took Danny Shelton, nose tackle from Washington. So three picks, I think, from...
Oh, yeah. No, that's a goal. Rangers lost.
Ugh. That's horrendous. That's Zella Pukin. I was being chased around a house with a knife the night of that game. We talked about that series earlier. All right, let's take a break here on The Extra Point. Griscolo brothers are here. I like the Ferrelli brothers, only crazier. Chris Griscolo in for Dr. G. When we come back, we'll be joined by the Boogie of the Bayou and my big brother's Padawan, Andrew Reich. We'll talk the NBA playoffs.
I can't believe they lost the game with 3 seconds left.
Ugh. My brother's going to ponder life for a moment. More Extra Point after this.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Griscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We featured The Extra Point with Scott Griscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather, Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keith's RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN podcast network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on Earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network, it's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
And welcome back to Place to Be Nation, episode 38 of The Extra Point. the brothers Criscolo here. Dr. Ron Simon. He'll be back on our next show, episode 39. We'll be joined by Joel Barnhart, our resident baseball guru. We'll talk about the first month of the Major League season. My brother and I will talk a little baseball now. We're just waiting for Andrew Reich to join us, the Boogie of the Bayou, to talk NBA playoffs. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Of course, the first round of the NBA, the NFL draft is going on as we speak. The NBA draft isn't for a couple months. A couple of picks just happened. The Browns, with the 19th pick, took Cameron Irving, center from Florida State. And with the 20th pick, the Eagles selected Nelson Agholor, wide receiver from USC. So the Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. Again, PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. By the time you're listening to this, you will see that the obviously the first round is over, but Brian Bayless did his last-minute first-round NFL mock draft, so you could compare and see if he's right, as well as the guy or the co-host of the Sports Lounge, Cowboy himself, Roger Morissette, as well as the Tower, Andy Flanagan. They didn't really do a prediction. What they did was they took a different angle, and if they were the GMs of these teams, who would they pick? Not who they think the real team would pick, but who they would pick if they were the GM of the Bucks or the GM of the Titans. So check that out on PlaceToBeNation.com and compare and see how they did with how the real first round happened. Of course, my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, and I are doing our Vintage Vault refreshes, and today we posted King of the Ring 1993. Of course, Bret Hart winning that one. History of Wrestling Podcast number 6. Graham Cawthon, Brad Stutz, and Dan McGinn. Does hardcore still exist? Of course, Extreme Rules happened this past Sunday in Chicago. Aaron George, A Great Alternative, Ring of Honor from the April 25th episode. Pro Wrestling Super Show number 50. Stephen Graham was joined by Kelly and Parr from Titans of Wrestling, and they talked about Mr. Fuji, the manager. You remember Mr. Fuji?
Of course I do. He was part of destroying wrestling for me.
Really? Oh, well, yes, that, but he had nothing to do with that. He was an idiot. Come on, you yellow belly. Remember he yelled that to Hogan?
Yeah, I know.
Come on, you yellow belly. Anyway, my brother got very rankled after WrestleMania 9, which, by the way, my brother and I also just did the Vintage Vault refresh for. We've been mentioning the last couple of podcasts about this great series that the staff's doing called PTBN's Real World Champion. You'd be interested in this, Chris. The staff members of Place to Be Nation came together to argue who the true world champion of North American wrestling was in each year from 1983 through 2014. And they took into account, and we're not talking, because people got confused by this, we're not talking about who the actual champion was. That's not the point. They factored in work rate, promo skills, drawing ability, influence, and general overall presentation, acceptance, and cachet. So they picked who the best wrestler was at the top of his game for each year. And the guys just posted 1995 to 2000. So some interesting picks there as well. So they've done 83 to 88, 89 to 94, and then 1995 to 2000. So check it out. Fantastic multi-part series on Place to Be Nation's Real World Champion. And they just posted 1995 to 2000. Russell Sellers, New Hotness, Secret Convergence Week 3. Glenn Butler with his walk around the web from yesterday. Matt Davis, the seventh inning stretch column, and more. Of course, my PIC and I did our Vintage Vault Monday, the Great American Bash 2004. So there you go. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. And of course, also, don't forget to vote in the greatest wrestling theme tournament. We're in the fourth round now. I never asked you, what is your favorite wrestling theme of all time? What's your favorite entrance theme?
My favorite entrance theme. Oh no, it's Triple H's original, the game.
Oh, okay, excellent.
No, the one where he comes out. You know, his original
one from 2000.
Yes,
the 2000 one. Yeah, that one. I love that one too. That one got knocked out early, sadly. Yes, I've got a myriad of favorite picks there. My favorite, probably, there's a bunch of them, but I'd have to say right now, if there's one that I can consistently blast in my car when I feel like it, it's Evolution. So, but I do love any of Triple H's themes. Okay, Well, we were going to talk baseball. We could do a quick check of baseball as we speak. The Yankees are not as bad as everyone thought they were going to be, big brother. But of course, the American League East is not what it was, so it's not too bad. The Mets, they've kind of settled down a little bit. They're not they've cooled off since the 11-game winning streak. They've now lost 5 of their last 7. They lost tonight, their third straight, 8-2 to the Nationals. So Washington, obviously, getting off the early season schneid. But for the Mets, it's more injuries. The injuries to the pitching and to David Wright finally starting to catch up to him a little bit. But the Yankees are in a 3-way tie for first right now with the Red Sox and Tampa.
Actually, no, the Yankees are ahead by a game. The Yankees are 13-9.
Yes. Well, it says Boston and Tampa Bay are 12. Oh, what am I looking at? You're right. And the Red Sox and Tampa are 12-10. Detroit leading the Central, 15-7, half a game ahead of Kansas City. And who is leading the West? How about the 14-7 Houston Astros? In the
they have a 3.5 game lead.
In the East, the Mets are lucking out because the Mets are 15-8, but the rest of the division is under 500, so they still have a 4.5 game lead over the Braves and Marlins.
That's the other thing that's going to help the Mets this year. That division
is pretty hideous.
I mean, Atlanta should be better than 10-12, and they will be later on. But and Washington should be better, but the Phillies stink and the Marlins stink.
Yeah. So in the Central, St. Louis is 15-6. They're 2.5 ahead of the Cubs, and the Dodgers at 13-8 have a 2-game lead over Colorado. Good start by San Diego, but they've kind of teetered off a little bit as well. They're now under 500. And the defending world champion San Francisco Giants, 9-13. They've got no hitting. All right. So there's your baseball update. We'll get more into baseball on our next show. Doctor will be back, and we'll have Joel Barnhart with us as well. It is now time to talk the 2015 NBA playoffs, and who better to do that with than with the Boogie of the Bayou? And so, Big Brother, your Padawan has joined you. He is the Anakin Skywalker to your Obi-Wan Kenobi, Mr. Andrew Reich.
Did you seriously just compare me to Hayden Christensen?
No, you're the little kid.
Not the actor, the character.
Yeah. You're the little kid. We liked him too.
Oh, so I'm Jake Lloyd.
Yes.
So I'm a fat tubby guy who has like a garage band there.
What the hell happened to him, huh? You're the best.
He's probably in a garage band with Jonathan Lipnicki and Haley Joel Osment.
And all those other scrubs from Cute Kids from 99 to 2003.
They're all going to turn into a big gang of serial killers.
And before the concert starts, Haley Joel Osment says, "I still see dead people.
I still see dead people." Oh, wait, I'm looking in a mirror. All right. Reachman, thanks for joining us. And Big Brother is with us. 38-32 right now. Spurs leading the Clippers early second quarter. Who's doing that? Who's announcing that game?
Well, I've had the voice down. I think it's Mark.
Who's doing the game?
It's Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller, I think.
It's Kevin Harlan! And so
he's not quite as off the charts on TV as he is on radio.
Yeah. Continuing as we're continuing to track the first round of the NFL draft, the Bengals just selected Cedric Ogbui.
Yeah. I thought it was Cedric the Entertainer.
Yes, but maybe he looks like him. Well, he is 6'5", 306 pounds, so he's pretty close. Offensive tackle from Texas A&M. So the Steelers, who I clearly think will draft either a corner or a safety, is picking 22nd. Mr. Reich, let's begin with a series that ended tonight. And that is the Milwaukee Bucks got thoroughly mollywomped. Sorry, Mr. Willie. 120-66. Bulls put them to the woodshed. The Bucks didn't break 20 in any quarter. Did you watch this game, and what were your thoughts?
Well, first of all, their names are officially the Young Bucks. So whenever you ever talk about the Bucks, you got to call them the Milwaukee Young Bucks. Because remember, they are the youngest team in the playoffs.
They are. And who on the Bulls is Bobby Fish? is it Joaquin Noah?
I think it's Pau Gasol. I think yes. It's Pau Gasol when he lets his hair grow out a little longer.
Yes, exactly.
No, the Bulls just got out really fast. The Bucks just couldn't score, which was their problem from the beginning. And then Giannis got ejected for basically spearing Mike Dunleavy Jr. on a corner. And that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, the game was over before Giannis got ejected anyway. That wasn't like a do-or-die thing. But
right.
No team that's trailing in a series wins 3 games in a row.
No.
Not if they're trailing. Never. It never happens.
Right. So the Bulls win that series 4-2. It looks like Big Brother, the Spurs, out 15-6 in the second quarter. And they have a 41-32 lead.
That damn claw.
Over the clip shop. Let's talk about Cleveland. Crisp, clean, no caffeine, 4-game sweep of the Celtics. Surprised? Reesh?
Are you talking about Cleveland sweeping Boston? Did it surprise me?
Yeah, did it surprise you?
Not really. Because I knew that they were going to struggle with LeBron and Kyrie Irving. And they took over the games for the most part. What surprised me was that Kevin Love was pretty actively involved in the offense in all four of the games. So it's a bit of a shame what happened with him with Olynyk. I want to ask you and Chris, because I've been having this discussion with a few other people. Was Olynyk's yank of Love's arm dirty?
I didn't think so.
No, I didn't think so either.
I thought it was incredibly dirty.
You think so? Really?
Yeah, it was a non-basketball play.
Hmm.
He knew that he was going to go for the loose ball, and he yanked his arm because he didn't like that he arm-barred him. I thought that was just as bad as what J.R. Smith did.
Maybe it's those Gonzaga alums being tired of called wimps.
Now, what about J.R. Smith, though? Because even though he balled his fist and he did it on purpose, you could at least make the idea that he was making a basketball move because he was boxing out.
You know what I think it is, Risha? I think you got to look at the mentality of those guys. J.R. Smith's always been kind of a sneaky little shit, so.
Reputation.
Yeah, that's what I think.
They don't want to put a dorky white Canadian guy and try to peg him as
a dirty player. Like I said, it's very hard
to
gain respect from a guy who barely has peach fuzz for a beard.
But Boston was so badly outmanned. I mean, they had decent players.
They can't guard LeBron. They don't have anybody who can guard LeBron.
No one can guard him.
Yeah, they have nobody that could guard Kyrie Irving.
And they just took over the games. I'm interested to see what happens when they play Chicago, because even though Derrick Rose has been great at times, he's had a couple of games where he stunk. And I remember one game where Michael Carter-Williams kind of took him to the woodshed. So I wonder what's going to happen with Kyrie when he faces off with Derrick Rose. And what happens if Jimmy Butler has to guard LeBron James, because that's going to waste his energy on the offensive end. So I'm kind of fascinated to see what Thibodeau throws at him.
So there you go, Bulls and
Cavs.
When
would Michael Carter-Williams take anybody to the woodshed?
He did it to Derrick Rose in game 4 or 5, I believe it was.
Well, Derrick Rose now has the knees of Joe Namath, so some issues there. Game 6, Friday night at the Barclays. Would you have thought, Reesh, that this Hawks, and this was specifically for the who we missed, Dr. G, this is for his team. Would you have thought that this series was going to go 6 games, the Hawks and the Nets?
No, I thought this was going to be a sweep. Mm. Two things happened. Number one, the Hawks have played really poorly on the road. The game 3 in particular, they did not play well. Game 4, they played okay. What happened that nobody expected is that Deron Williams, who's been missing for about 2 years, and I think his parents were trying to find him too. All of a sudden broke out and had a 35-point game, which nobody, and including the Atlanta Hawks coaching staff, expected. So that evened up the series. But they've still been competitive. You know, the game 5 was pretty close for the most part. It's a total surprise. I think it just kind of speaks to the fact that even though Atlanta's team play and their ability to work throughout their starting 5 without having one particular superstar is a really good attribute – it does provide its negatives, Scott. You know what I'm saying? It's that not having the superstar to bail you out when you need something, like a LeBron, like a Chris Paul, like a Kawhi Leonard, when you don't have somebody like that, it really hurts you.
Right. Right. So do the Nets take the 7 games?
Oh, no. I think it's over tomorrow.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets lose by 15 tomorrow night.
Hmm.
I think the Nets have run out of gas. I will say Jarrett Jack. I'm trying to find a good comparison for Jarrett Jack, but it seems it's almost like a playoff DH. Like, I don't follow baseball, but do you know how there's those DHs in baseball where they don't really do anything all year, but they always have those 2 at-bats that just save your season?
Right.
It seems like Jarrett Jack's that guy. He always has 1 or 2 quarters in the playoffs where he just bails you out. But the entire season, he does nothing. And most of the playoffs, he does nothing. But it's like that one or those 5 or 6 minutes where it's thank God Jarrett Jack got us out of that rut. You know, it's just he just had a really good game five, but it wasn't enough to beat Atlanta, even though they were a lot closer than I thought they would be.
Mm.
You know, I got to give credit to Lionel Hollins. I didn't think that team would be competitive in the postseason.
Speaking of Lionel Hollins, and I agree with you. Speaking of Lionel Hollins, let's talk about his former team, who took out one of my favorite teams, and I hated this team in the 2000s, but Memphis took out Portland in five. I think it was in five.
Yes.
I am so digging this Memphis-Golden State series. By the way, Golden State took out, sorry, Reesh, took out the Pelicans in, was it five, or they sweep?
It was a sweep.
Oh, okay.
Steph Curry, just to recap, Steph Curry had an absolutely amazing shot in game three that only I think he could make in the corner to tie the game. And then they won it in overtime. And then in the game four, they swept him. Curry was unreal. So was Anthony Davis.
Let me ask you this before we move on to this series. The two games in New Orleans, you know that area, duh. Did the place have juice? Did you feel excited? Do you think this is a team that people could hook on in 2015, 2016?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I think that's a continuation of a point I was trying to make to somebody about a week ago about this.
Uh-huh.
In the Spurs game, which was their home finale, their season finale, where if they lose, they're not in the playoffs, and if they win, they're in, which was basically a playoff game that had a lot riding on it for the Spurs, too, because playoff positioning was at stake. There was a lot of energy in the building for that game. And when they were really competitive, I think a lot of people bought in temporarily, bandwagon fans, I guess you could call them,
right,
to see what was up with the Pels. And then when game three happened, there was a lot of juice when they got up big, when they choked that lead and lost it in overtime. I watched game four, and it just the energy was sucked out of the building. It was almost like they were just standing there waiting for the hatchet to come down.
Oof.
And you know, the problem with the Pelicans is that they haven't had too much consistent success over the past four or five seasons. So if you can't get those bandwagon fans or casual fans and draw them in, and what's really a football town with the Saints, and you can't get them into that building by making them buy into the fact that you can be competitive and that you can be a good playoff team in the Western Conference, you're not going to get their ticket back the next time around. So I do think that series loss, even though they lost to an incredible Golden State Warriors team, did hurt them and hamper them going forward. I think Monty Williams is going to be under a very heavy microscope to start the season 2015-16.
Hmm. Speaking of football, good segue, Reesh. Last couple picks, the Steelers did not take a defensive back. With their pick, they took Bud Dupree, outside linebacker from Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah. Yep.
And then with the 23rd pick, the Broncos, I guess they made a trade. The Lions and Broncos swapped spots. So Denver got the 23rd pick. The Lions moved down to 28th, and the Broncos.
Matt Millen's taking a wide receiver, guys.
Exactly. the Broncos took Shane Ray, defensive end from Missouri.
Yeah, but he's low on character.
Amazing.
He's low on character, though.
Yeah. Who, Shane
like that
Ray?
Makes a fucking difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
hey, smoked marijuana. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Arizona Cardinals on the clock right now at 24. All right. So the winner of this game, the winner of this series that my big brother is intent at the moment, will take on the Houston Rockets and Mr. Harden, who took out Dallas. Give me a quick prediction, Reesh. If it is Rockets-Clippers, who wins? And if it's Rockets-Spurs, who wins?
If it's Rockets-Clippers, I think the Clippers have certain advantages with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul at the point guard spot that I would give them a slight advantage. If it's the Spurs going past the Clippers and they face the Rockets, I can't bet against the Spurs. I just can't bet against the Spurs.
Are you doing Jedi mind tricks to your Padawan? Chris, is that what you're doing? Is that a Jedi mind trick you just did? You don't need to see his identification. Move along.
No, it's just the thing for San Antonio is, I mean, you could not have gotten, and this goes for LA too, you couldn't have gotten a tougher first round opponent. I mean, it's not even possible. The only one that got a tougher first round opponent was probably the Pelicans, you know? But you know, with, in case of in the case of San Antonio, they're going to be so battle tested by the time they get to the second round. The Rockets got really a dysfunctional, out of sorts Dallas Mavericks team, you know, who played no defense. So they fell right into the Rockets' hands because they play fast.
Right.
The Spurs are just one of those teams that when they get in their groove, when they they're hitting their shots, I don't care what James Harden's able to do breaking down guards off the dribble. I don't care about Dwight Howard. They're just going to find a way. The Spurs are going to just find a way to win or take one out of Houston, and that's all they're going to need to win the series.
And I'm going to say this, though, and I don't, I mean, I don't do this for my utter dislike of the Spurs. This is because I did this with Dr. G for so many years with the Devils. Eventually, just a younger, faster team is going to beat them. I mean, there's only so many legs. I mean, how many lives in this cat are left for the Spurs?
I have three words for that. To be continued. We're not at the conference finals yet. That's actually more than three words. But
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
If we go, you know, since we're kind of going to break down quickly the Golden State-Memphis thing, which is really offense versus defense, you know, grit and grind versus run and gun.
Right.
If Golden State gets by Memphis, San Antonio is going to have so much trouble with the Warriors.
Right.
So much. You know, but I think the real – I think one thing financially that really might hurt San Antonio is what's going to happen with two things. Kawhi Leonard's free agency as a restricted free agent.
Oh, wow.
And Danny Green as an unrestricted free agent. Because if Danny Green gets about $11 million on the open market, which is possible, and if Kawhi Leonard earns max money on his extension, that would ruin the cap balance that they have. And they might have to ask Ginobili to retire. They might have to let Danny Green walk, and they might have to replace him. And that might ruin the chemistry of the team or lessen their bench. But outside of that, they're all good. You know, Parker's still good. Ginobili's still got a little bit left in the tank, even though it's going on E. And Boris Diaw is sealed for a couple more years. Patty Mills, too. They're in really good shape, but I do think the end is near.
Well, I asked this of my brother earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week. You probably have to think Popovich is going to pull a Urban Meyer at Florida once Tebow, you know, graduated. He'll probably wait to see what Parker and Duncan and Ginobili want to do. And once they're all gone, he's going to walk away.
I think mainly it's Duncan. You know, I really do. I think it's – now, listen, Jerry Sloan stuck around a lot longer than we thought after Karl Malone and John Stockton retired because he was just a lifer as a coach. I feel like Popovich is the same way. He's kind of built like Larry Brown. But I do say this. When Tim Duncan decides it's over, it might be like Pat Riley with the Lakers when Kareem retired. It might not be too long after Duncan's exit that Popovich says, you know, I've
he's
got
he's just going to go up to the
wins.
Front office and get off the bench. I mean, he's the president of the team. He's just going to get off the bench, and he'll go up and work in the front office.
Yeah,
I mean,
let
he's never
going to
leave that organization. I mean, he'll die before he walks away from them, but I don't think he'll coach.
Yeah,
much
the longer. The only thing that hurts them there is that they've been so successful, and their pedigree is so rich that their top assistants have all left over the years, so they don't really have that one mainstay assistant outside of Ime Udoka. So who would be the coach that replaces Pop? I mean, we're talking about something that might not happen for another 3 or 4 or 5 years, but you know there will come a point where they will have to, you know, move on. You have to look into a life without Tim Duncan, but right now in the here and now, Tim Duncan is here, and he's averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds at 39 years old, which is amazing. If you watch Tim Duncan, I know he looks ageless, so it kind of like plays against your visuals, but he really does. He's almost played better than he ever has. It's crazy, but it's the truth.
There's no wasted motion with him. Everything, every movement he makes has a purpose. His body just is so fluid. He's so fundamentally sound with his rebounding ability and his ability to get guys off their feet. If there's one thing that he never really did well was shoot free throws, but as a big
he's gotten better over the years when he lost his arm.
He's gotten better at it. But
you know why? Because he bulked up in his MVP years. When he leaned down in the late 2000s, his free throw shooting got better, and that was not a coincidence.
You know, as long as he gets his rest – you know, and the guy's, you know, he's never really been hurt. I could see him playing another year.
Duncan is the NBA version of a tortoise in the hare. Slow and steady wins the race. You don't have to rush your way through things. You just got to keep on going, and you don't have to waste movement.
And the Spurs have a 47-40 lead, a little about 3.5 minutes to go.
It's amazing how they just turn things around with maybe one or two runs.
Yeah.
Like, you think they're in trouble. They're down 7 late in the first quarter, and then, you know, bing, bang, boom, they're up. And they do this on the road. They do it at home. They could do it in the parking lot. It doesn't matter where they go. The Spurs are just, they're like clockwork, you know. The one thing, and you kind of hinted at it, is what's going to happen if they play a really kind of like, I'm trying to find a really good example, kind of like when the Rockets won back-to-back titles and then the Sonics swept them.
Yes.
In 96. I wonder what will happen if, you know, this Spurs team plays just a team like Golden State, and Golden State just shellacks them.
Well, it's like the Pistons.
How they respond to it.
It's like the Pistons.
Yeah.
Back-to-back in 89-90 and then 91. Michael and all those. Well, the only difference.
I think the Warriors are the only team in the conference that can beat San Antonio. If the Warriors somehow get knocked off between now and then, I think San Antonio goes to the finals again. I don't think anybody in that conference is going to beat them, except for Golden State. Houston's not beating them.
And then there was one more series we haven't talked about yet, and that was the potential one of who is it? The Wizards and the Hawks, potentially.
But, yeah.
Nobody cares about that either.
The Wizards
aren't great, and I think Atlanta is not ready for prime time. Yeah, they had a good season, but I just don't think they're ready.
You know what's funny about it, though? The Wizards are kind of the new Hawks, because that's what the Hawks were from the 90s and also in the late 2000s when they had Josh Smith and Joe Johnson. They're always like second round, and they would be competitive. Or they would get swept.
Right.
You know, they would never get past second round. It was the same way in the 80s when Dominique Wilkins was there. It was the same way in the 90s when they had Mookie Blaylock and Steve Smith. And I wonder if the Hawks will be able to take a team that's sort of built that way in Washington and get to the finals, the conference finals, which they haven't been to in, oh my God, I can't even remember. It's been there since like the late 70s. Or the Wizards take that jump with John Wall. You know, I'm kind of fascinated to see how that plays out. But going by the pace of both teams, it's going to be a very slow, ugly series.
Update with the 24th pick, the Cardinals took DJ Humphreys, another offensive lineman, this time a tackle from Florida. So the Carolina Panthers are on the clock.
This draft is loaded with big-time offensive line talent.
Yeah. I mean, this is the 1, 2, I think it's like the 5th offensive line. Let's go back again. Let's see.
Yeah, the Saints got one out of Stanford.
Let's see. Brandon Scherff, 5th to Washington.
I heard Scherff is I guess we could use the NXT comparison. He's like a muscle gym powerhouse dude.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be like a workout hero.
Yeah, he won the Outland. He's definitely a great player.
Yeah.
And then Eric Flowers, as mentioned, went with the Giants at 9. Andres Pete went 13th. That's your new guy, Reish, to the Saints.
Got to protect that line.
Yep. Cameron Irving, center, went to the Browns from Florida State. Cedric Ogbuihi went 21st to Texas A&M. I can't pronounce his name. Ogbuihi. And now DJ Humphreys, 6'5", 307 tackle from Florida, is going to the Arizona Cardinals. So the Carolina Panthers on the clock at 25.
But you're forgetting the most important question.
Mm-hmm.
How high are they on character? Do they have good character? Because if not, Roger Goodell won't let him in the league.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. Unless
I just love it. Now, the Lyle Collins story, you know, because I'm down here in Louisiana, I don't have an answer to that one, you know. But yeah. When it comes to the other ones, it's like, oh, well, he smoked weed or, you know, he got in a fight in a bar. It's like, dude, they're kids.
Oh, let me ask you, Reish. I've been saving this for you to come on. Obviously, Mariota went number 2 to Tennessee. What does that say for your boy Mettenberger?
His days are numbered.
He's obviously going to be the number 2 quarterback. Jake Locker's gone.
It'll be a situation sort of like when Doug Peterson was in Philadelphia and Don McNabb got drafted. I think he's a placeholder starter. And then once Mariota starts figuring it out, or Mettenberger gets hurt, which is highly likely too, then Mariota will take his place. I do think
Donovan accepted the Oklahoma City job.
Billy Donovan going to Oklahoma City.
By Monday, he changes his mind and goes back to Florida.
Nope.
Just like he did with the Magic.
With Orlando.
I think he's got the low key temperament to be an NBA coach, and I like his balance on his teams in Florida, but I just don't know how he's going to handle Oklahoma City, because that is a highly stressful job because of how much that's going on there with Kevin Durant's upcoming free agency.
Unless everybody leaves.
And that's the one thing. Billy Donovan's got to win right away. You know, it's not a situation where he can take a couple of years. I mean, he's not going to get fired if Kevin Durant leaves, but it is a situation where if Donovan doesn't do well his first year and Durant bolts, then it's going to be tough sledding for him for the rest. And it might make his NBA coaching career look like a failure when he could have done better had he just gone to a different situation. You know, anytime you have a great college coach like that and he leaves a really plush job, you want him to make the right decision. It almost hurts when they go to the NBA and they don't do well. You don't want them to fail, because in college, it's kind of like your guys.
Right.
You know, and I just kind of – I hope he made the right decision, you know. It does feel like a little bit like you could have waited a little longer and got a better job.
All right. Before we wrap up, give me your conference finals right now.
Chicago and Atlanta and Golden State and San Antonio.
Mm. Pretty impressive. I dig that. Who do you like, Mayweather or Pacquiao?
Mayweather. Best all. I don't know much about boxing, but I have heard that Mayweather's like offensive accuracy as a puncher is beyond compare. And if he can land the most punches, that's it.
The way that Mayweather would lose the fight if he kept going inside. Pacquiao has got a great right hand. If you're in tight with him, you keep him at arm's length, and he's not a good jabber. He doesn't have a lot behind his jab. You really got to get hit by a right hand by him, and Mayweather's not going to get inside on him, and that's where I think the fight's going to be. I mean, I'm not a big boxing guy either, but I've watched
both of those
guys fight.
Well, I'm not. I mean, maybe Scott knows better than me, or maybe Chris does, but I know Mayweather's undefeated. But Pacquiao's had the 5 losses, and he got knocked out a few years ago. But how well has he boxed over the last year or so in the fights that he's competed in?
I can't remember the last fight he was in, actually.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I
think it was Cotto.
Yeah. Mayweather fought recently in Jerry's World. He was great, you know, so.
I've watched every – I was saying this earlier in the show, Reesh. I've watched each of Mayweather's last 5 fights. I watched his fight with Robert Guerrero, with Canelo, and both Maidanas. And he does.
Maria Kanellis and the Body Donnas.
Maria Kanellis and the Body Donnas. Yes. And Dr. Tom Pritchard could not get the inside jab. But no, what he does is he gets a few shots on you in the first round, and then he dances around in a circle for the next 11 rounds. So my brother's exactly right. Pacquiao's gonna have to wear him out early, and then make Mayweather have to catch up in points. And if he does
to go inside. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, so we'll
hope it isn't a dancing. I just hope the two of them don't dance for 15 rounds,
12 rounds.
In terms of anticipation, where would you rate this fight?
Tyson,
the two Tyson Holyfields, Tyson Lewis.
It's definitely a big deal. I mean,
no, it's a big deal. But I mean, if this fight happened 5 years ago, it would have been really off the charts, because they both would have been in their prime. Pacquiao would have been. I think he might have only had 1 loss by that time, and Mayweather would still have been undefeated, and they were both knocking people out left and right. The fight would have been insane if this happened 5 years ago. Now,
here might be a better question. Mayweather-Pacquiao, does that top any UFC fight in terms of anticipation for you as a fan?
Oh, yeah. No, this is a big deal, because boxing is still more widespread. And sadly... I'm not an expert in MMA, but with now the John Bones Jones legal problems and Silva pretty much no longer invincible, I don't think there's a face of UFC anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a problem too.
They're in a brand crisis. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, they're two most high profile guys. One got the crap kicked out of him, and the other's probably going to jail. So.
And the other one was at WrestleMania.
Yes, exactly. And she's going to get more money giving giving Stephanie McMahon an armbar. So,
yeah.
Mr. Riesch, always a pleasure, man. I'll talk to you next week on the main event, where we will talk about Ronda Rousey, but maybe in a different way. Who knows? Or maybe we'll talk about TNA going out of business. and maybe Tim Duncan will become a referee. No. Big Brother, thanks for pinch hitting for Dr. G. The doctor will be back on our next show. I'll see you on Saturday night. Get the grill fired up. We got some dead animal on Saturday night, I'm anticipating.
No, I'm not. We're cooking. I haven't decided what we're going to do yet.
Okay. I'm sure we'll have some dead animal, so that's good. I'll bring the Yingling. And so enjoy the weekend, everyone. We got Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs, the run for the roses, Mayweather Pacquiao. It's a huge weekend in the world of sports. So, for the Boogie and for Big Brother, I am Little Brother. You've kicked the extra points. The doctor will be back next in a couple weeks. We'll have Joel Barnhart. We'll talk baseball. See you then. Told you they bought and sold.